Brother Marty mentioned about Forsyth being out of power and that y'all are blessed to have us here. I feel blessed to be here. I always enjoy coming here and hearing Brother Marty and hearing the Word of God. And it's just, y'all have a sweet place here. And thankful for you. So I woke up this morning and my power was restored. It was I was thankful for that, but I was thinking about things that we treasure. Do we treasure God? You know, it's simple to, so simple for us to, it's a simple thing to come to church, right? It should be, you know. And of course the devil doesn't want you to come to church. He wants you to sit at home and whatever he can distract you with. If that works, he's a happy devil, I guess. But he shouldn't be happy knowing his end. I don't think he is. He's full of hate. But I was just thinking about what we give ourselves to. I was thinking, how important is it to us to have our internet? What do we give ourselves to? It's mine's getting up there. The cost of it's getting up there a little bit, and I'm like, I don't know if I really need this. You know, I just use my phone. Of course, that doesn't work that great most of the time. But when we come to the house of God, how are we toward our service to Him in giving? And is it easier for us to spend $50 on a concert ticket than it is to give $5 to church, to God's service? I mean, I haven't preached on giving much, and that was not my intention. It's not what my notes are on, but I think it's important that we take inventory of what we give to. Do we treasure God and His house? Do we treasure His ministers? Do we want to see His house in disarray? No. There's just a... And when we come to church, is it with a sigh? Or do we have, it's Sunday, I've got to go to church. You know, sometimes preachers do that. Feeling, mostly I believe that's because we feel unprepared. Or maybe we've neglected what we should be doing during the week. And but still, we should be rejoicing that we get to come to God's house, that we get to seek His face, that we get to come to this pasture land and be filled with good fodder for our souls. I'm going to switch off there to what I wrote down this morning. It came as I was thinking on God's word. In James, the book of James, chapter 4, verse 3. Ye I'll just start in verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Do you ever feel bankrupt through the week? Maybe your love toward God. Where's my love toward God? Now, when I was thinking on that verse, I was thinking of all the things that we think we have not. We have them in Christ. And we should be praying for those sort of things, you know. Things that we struggle with. Lord, give me more love for you. Father, help me to love you more. And not just to love you more, but to have more love towards you. You know, there was a story about the rich man who... It's in Luke 12, verse 16 through 34. I guess this does go along with giving, but where our hearts are toward. Luke 12, 16 through 34. And Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. There's many ways to be rich toward God. I think we ought to be rich in all of them. Do I meet that standard? No. Every day I think of the greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy soul and thy strength and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We should be asking, God, help me to love you more. Not, you know, people can give money. We can give money. As Jesus pointed out, at the well they were casting in their money. And he beheld one little lady, the little widowed lady, that cast in her two mites, which was all her living. And other people were casting in out of their abundance. And the lady that knelt down at, I believe it was Mary. Was it Mary Magdalene? Knelt, poured the ointment upon Jesus' head.
Mary Bethany.
She poured the ointment upon Jesus' head, worth a year's wages, 300 pence. And that, I assume, is about a year's wages then. And people got upset. Judas stirred them up and said, this could have been sold and given to the poor. And Jesus told him, you have the poor with you always. You know, she's done a good thing, you know. It won't be taken from her. In the Old Testament, Israel, I don't believe, was rich toward God in their thoughts toward him, their heart toward him. Every time a trouble arose, they Oh, you've brought us out here to die. You've brought us out here to die. You know, we're going to thirst to death. God provided them water. Go a little further. Oh, we're hungry, you know. You brought us out here to starve. He gave them manna and doves. Again and again, God showed his heart and his love toward a murmuring people. He did get tired of that. You know, we should be rich toward God in our thoughts toward him. You know, when we have troubles, there's the old man that's sitting in us telling us the worst is going to happen in our life. This is not going to get better. You've sinned. God's not going to hear you. God's a merciful God. I'm so thankful that's in there. His compassions, they fail not. And when you're struggling with sin or whatever it is, go to God. Go to God, believe, and you can read the Old Testament and the New Testament and see just how rich God is toward us. And you see the food and the water, the doves, and the parting of the Red Sea. You see him destroying their enemies before them. When they were feared, when you see that mighty man of valor, Gideon. Gideon, that mighty man of valor, who was hiding when God spoke to him. God called him a mighty man of valor and told him he'd go and smite the Midianites, or I believe. And he had some trust issues there. You know, he was... And we all have trust issues, especially when we're focused on our strength or our weakness. Some people are overly confident in their strength, but God tells us not to trust in strength in a man, but trust in him. He's mighty. He's mighty. He's so good to us. Back to things... When somebody offends you, if you're like me, you get angry pretty quick. It's not good. Anger resteth in the bosom of fools, the words of God says. And so, but we're all confronted with that. We're all confronted with it, whether it be a friend, somebody that's a known enemy. We're confronted with trials in our life. And if the first thing we do is just give them back what they're given, that's not good. The Word of God tells us a soft answer turneth away wrath, you know. And that's something, if you're having a problem right in the midst of it, you're angry, you're not thinking about the Word of God probably, but you should. You should run as quickly as you can to God. God, help me with this. Give me forgiveness for this brother, for this enemy. Give me love, Father. That's some things we should ask for. You have not because you ask not. Are we asking before we give? Are we asking before we give? Because if you're not asking first of God, then maybe you don't have it to give because you asked not. Maybe you don't have love for your enemies because you asked not. Maybe you don't have love. Well, God places his love of him in us. I know that in the new birth. But I still think we're to ask for it. God, give us more love for you. Help us to honor you, not just at church on Sunday, but how we spend through the week. Another place I fell miserably. But shine a light on it, Lord. Make us uncomfortable in sin. Help us to hate it, Father, as you hate it. Are you depressed? Ask the Father for fullness of joy. You know, that's a good prayer. Christ said he's done these things that your joy may be full. He's told you, Paul said he told us these things that your joy might be full. Are you struggling with unbelief in your prayer? I woke up last week, and I know it wasn't nothing but the devil just aggravating. Well, what's prayer? What kind of difference does this make and that make? You know, you prayed about this and that didn't happen. This didn't go this way. And I was like, get thee behind me, Satan. God still answers prayer. He answers prayer sometimes really quick. Sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes it's a while. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. But my sister called me the other day and texted me that my nephew, he's got Down syndrome. He had an esophageal blockage that if it went down the wrong way, you know, it goes into the lungs. And it's always a scary thing. He's had to go to the hospital before to get things removed. And this was really bad, she said, and was asking for prayers and from a few of us. And we all prayed, and it was almost instant. She takes back, praise God. Praise God. He cleared it and was doing well. I think about Brother Victor here. I don't know if he prayed. I assume he did. Brother Victor Hobblewalks. No, I saw a thing he's posted it online, but about when he was underneath his, he was in the crawl space of a house and he reached and grabbed the 220 volt. And he said, you know, he saw the copper pipe, he couldn't reach it to let go to where it would let him go. And he said his vision started closing in. And God saw that problem before it happened, obviously. He told about the neighbor out working and he's doing some stuff and unplugged all of his equipment because he said it was almost audible. He heard, go check on Victor. And don't we serve an amazing God? And that man went over, found him there, and turned off the switch. And we've got Victor today and a great testimony of God answering prayer and doing things maybe even before. Well, he was working before the prayer was made, satisfied. Because his help was on the way before Victor knew he needed help, I'm thinking. We've got storms coming. The world tell you, well, you see, where's God at? You've got tribulation. That's, praise God, we've got trouble, not for the trouble, but he told us, in this world you shall have tribulation. But rejoice, be of good cheer. Be of good, I'm saying it wrong, good cheer. I have overcome the world. So, do you feel defeated? I feel defeated often. I don't. Even sometimes before I go to work, I'm just struggling, you know. It's a lot harder when you're self-employed, it seems to me, like to make yourself get out and get at what you need to get done. Some things that you just don't want to do and you just get called on, you've got to do them. Well, God can give you energy and strength for that. He can send you help for that. But did you ask? Did you ask? And maybe you were defeated this week. Maybe you are. Got a lot of things. Loss of loved ones. You know, I've lost my mom, my dad, not in the too distant past. It was really a shock, you know. I was thinking my dad was going to be around till he was 100 years old, like his dad. His dad was 98, and his mother was just a month shy of 102. And so to lose my dad at 76, when he just seemed so strong to me, till he got the COVID and passed with that. And then watching my mom deteriorate with what they said was Alzheimer's, I don't know, but it was it's just a heart-wrenching thing watching somebody you love and that you know loves you have to suffer through all that. But do I walk around depressed every day? Sure, I miss them, but I'm so thankful that I'll see them again. I'm so thankful that Christ promised He's coming back. He's coming back. And all this ugliness we see, the ugliness of sin we see in our own life, how do you overcome that? How do you overcome this depression? You look to Jesus. You look to the cross. When He went to the cross and bore our sins, even before God poured out His wrath, you know, He's sitting there saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Christ is God. I mean, can you imagine what kind of love? You know, when I was in school and got picked on and stuff, somebody spit on me or whooped me, there wasn't much I could do. But there was a lot in this little head thinking, "Boy, if I could, if I was just a little bit bigger." My God's bigger. Jesus is bigger. But you know what He's bigger than? He's bigger than our hate. He's bigger than our ugliness. It takes a bigger man to turn the other cheek when smited. He gave His back to him. And He was God. Is God. You heard what He told Pilate. "Think not that I could call 12 legions of angels." I said, but my kingdom's not of this world. Anyway, so we can look to Jesus and how He dealt with that. He had to go to the cross because that's what He purposed to do from before the foundation of the world. For all those that were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, to come and redeem them. "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." How rich is God toward us? You remember the rich young ruler that was. He came and asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And He told him, "You know the commandments." And then he sort of recited them and said, "Yeah, I've kept them all since my youth." And He said, "One thing thou lackest. Go and sell all that thou hast, then thou sh and come and follow me, and then thou shalt have riches in heaven." And he went away sorrowful. There's another gospel that tells us that God beheld him and loved him. So I know it was a child of God, and I know he's in glory today. You going down a little bit further, it's the disciples are looking at each other. "Well, who can be saved then? Who can be saved? This rich man? I mean, he's lived it all right," he said, but he couldn't give away everything. What did Christ lay aside? Christ said, with man, it is impossible. Who then can be saved? With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Not only is it possible, but it's a sure thing. Because Christ went to the cross And what did he say on that cross? It is finished. It is finished. And then in proving that he was accepted for God, he, after 3 days and three nights in the grave, he raised victorious over death, sin, and hell. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And praise God, because my prayers are not what they ought to be sometimes. Many times, I know Christ's prayers are right on the money. And I know he's heard. And I know he loves us. And he loves you. May God bless you all. Pardon the error.